Dublab. Hello, this is Transduction Signal on Dublab Radio. I'm your host, Travarsi, along with Orly Gal. Orly's off gallivanting and playing gigs over in Europe, so I'm holding down the fort this month. But join us each month on Dublab Radio for my show, Transduction Signal. We'll be joined by a featured artist who will share a live performance, followed by a short breakdown, and we'll talk about their setup, their journey, how they got into the music, and all that good stuff. And this month, I have Lucas Marshall, artist named DC11. He's a Paris-based producer and live artist. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. Oh, hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show.
I'm happy to be there.
Yeah, I've been following you. Like I had mentioned before, I can't remember where I saw you first, whether it was YouTube or Instagram, but when I heard your music, I was just like, this guy's fucking good. Like, I really like your stuff, and I'm like, I definitely need to have him on the show. But yeah, before we get into chatting and getting into all your background and all that good stuff, I of course want to play your performance for everyone. Do you have anything that you want to say about it before I hit the play button?
Yeah, this is probably a small chunk of the usual set I would do. I try to go a bit quicker than usual, but this isn't my forte. I'm all about repetition, so I have a hard time squeezing a lot of stuff into 20 minutes. But yeah, this is like my typical sort of intro, and then I go through a couple patterns and I just jam on my synth because nothing is pre-recorded on the synth side. So okay. It's most fun. I recorded it one night after my daughter was asleep, and that's a small chunk of what I could hear me play live on the live set, basically.
Very cool. All right, then. With that being said, I'm going to say go ahead and mute. I'll mute you on this end, and let's get into it.
We'll be right back.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, incredible. Groovy, just what I expected from you. Like, yeah, no, I have a lot of questions for you, but no. Excellent, excellent set. Excellent.
Thanks a lot.
Before I get into all my, you're welcome. Before I get into, because I, all my questions, do you want to just kind of explain what it is that you were working with and just talk about your setup a little bit?
Yeah, so this is a tiny bit different than what I use live because I don't have like the usual Zone 92 mix at home. So this is basically my studio setup. So it's a bit more flexible, which is I usually multi-track at home. But for this, I just recorded like the stereo output. But the setup itself is exactly the same as what I use live. I have the Octatrack with the samples and stems from my track, especially for the kick and the bass. So I just export stems like a week or two before a show, go through everything that I've done and just load a few new ones. Every show, there are a few that stays and a few that go, you know. So it's trial and error. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they work somewhere and sometimes they don't somewhere else. So sometimes I'm bringing old ones, you know, and just remix my old tracks. It's fun. So the Octatrack basically is this a back synth of some sort that works with the kick and bass.
I'm
And
sorry, say that again. The Octatrack is
it's a
a.
there's also like a sample of a synth sound or a pad or something like I can't really do with the modular or an
Got it.
atmosphere because that's usually ties up like the entire of the modular to do a drone and you don't want to do that. So yeah, that's the Octatrack basically. I use it super duper simple, like a sample player, the dumbest use of an Octatrack you could find. Yeah, it plays sample in loops or one shot. And then I have here in the studio, it's the big 909, the RE909 from DinSync,
Did you
which I
build it?
love. No, I didn't.
Or okay.
I'm liable to stab myself in the eye with a solder iron. So I luckily find someone who sold it secondhand in Paris, so I just bought it.
Nice, nice.
A few things don't work actually. The rim shot is busted. I need to have a proper tech look at it one day, but I can't not use it, so it's a bit hard. But I also bought like the small TB09 or TR09 from Roland, the boutique one, which
Oh,
I
like the
use.
boutique, the little boutique
Yeah,
one, right?
when I have to take the plane for a gig or it's a bit away and I don't want to pack too much, I just take the small one basically. I occasionally bring the bigger one to bigger gigs or when it's local in Paris, but it's mostly for me because no one can tell the difference anyway. So
Do
an
you like
909.
stem, do you use the channels like individual outs, or do you just put all of the 909, for example, on one track on your mixer?
In a live set, I just use the stereo out in one channel of the zone. But at home, I have like five outputs, like cymbal, hats, kick, and I believe clap. The one I use the most are on single channels, and the toms and snare are like on the mono output. And
Got it, got it.
Of course, then there's the 6U modular with a revolving cast of module. Every time I think I find a definitive lineup, it changes again. But
So sounds
so
about right.
far, yeah, you know the drill. But this is this one with the two pretty big synth voice, the Atlantis and the Swayman SM1, which is one of the latest, probably craziest purchase. I didn't want to use it as first because it's quite big, but I mean, I used it in every track I've made in the studio, so I said, let's try it live, and I really enjoy it. So, and actually, I think synth voice, I am quite in love with synth voice, and live they are especially practical because it's just a lot of things that are normal. You need less cable, and I mean, these two particular ones sound super good. So, Yeah, this is a good setup for me now, but it's gonna
Nice.
change probably. And then when I play live, I also bring a space pedal from Eventide, which I put at the end of the mixer. But here,
Okay.
since it's in the studio, I have the Ensoniq DP4 and the Eventide Eclipse as synths, so I just use that. So it's a bit different, but not crazily different.
Got
So
it.
yeah, that's the setup in a nutshell. It's usually these three things: a drum machine, the Octatrack, and the modular.
Do you take the OP6 out as well, or do you, is
No,
that
no,
just
no.
studio?
Yeah, it's just for the studio. It's quite big, and I don't even have a MIDI sequencer actually, so I can't really play it live.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
useless with keys. So yeah, I usually sequence it with a VST
Okay.
when I'm at home. Or sometimes the dark time, the little analog sequencer, which does MIDI, which is fun, but I will bring that live. And I already have too much to do. So, no, the OB6 so far has been strictly studio.
Got it. Yeah, no, I love the OB6. Yeah.
Yeah. I
So
saw
do you
over
find
Mono
that you
Live, they
sample
use
it?
one. Oh, yeah. We have a
Who you?
few. This UK band, Over Mono, they're quite huge right now. They have big hits. It's not really techno, it's like UK bass music, but they use the OB6 Live
Oh,
for bass,
okay.
and it's insane. But I do have samples from the OB6, but mainly like pads. I used to have like more recognizable synth riff, but I try to avoid these now on the Octatrack because since it's a loop, it quickly gets boring, I think. So I prefer to have like less recognizable stuff as synth, as a backup synth on the Octatrack, because it can sustain like scrutiny longer maybe than like a very defined melodic loop. Or not melodic, because given the style I make, it's not very accurate, but yeah,
But
not
something a
like a
little more
proper synth bar.
repetitive-y. Got it.
Yeah, something like usually pads.
Okay. So wait, you said kicks in that are in your Octatrack as well. So you do you use the 909, the kick? Do you layer it or do you just kind of
Not really. It depends. I mean, 90% of the shows I do, it's usually peak time. I mean, between DJs who have like insanely mastered tracks. So I use the kick from usually I export the kicks and bass from my tracks, which are already not mastered, but they're louder than what comes out of the 909 straight, of course. So yeah, that's usually what I do. But sometimes when I get to play an opening, I just load the bass lines and I use the kick from the 909. And honestly, the
okay.
kick from the 909 sounds amazing. It's just different, you know. You're not going to get the same boom as a hugely produced kick, of course, but
Right. But
it does kill on a good sound system still.
nice. Yeah, do you run it through like do you tend to like split it out to run like any distortion or you're just like screw it, like this is just I'm using the
Yeah, I'm
909.
screw
It's
it.
gonna be raw.
Yeah, it's gonna be raw.
Nice.
Yeah,
So, oh,
I
go
like it
ahead.
raw.
Sorry.
The 909 sounds, I mean, on a good sound system, of course some distortion adds a little bit, but the toms especially, I use the toms a lot live to layer with the kicks. And the low tom is actually quite lower than the kick. You can really feel it whenever you bring it on a big sound system. So I like to have the rolling toms on top of the bass line we have. Like in the studio
Nice.
setting, in the headphones, it doesn't make that much of a difference, but in a club it does.
Right. I feel like with toms, they add that extra help with the groove, right? Like give that
Yeah, they
extra
do, yeah.
little bounce to it. Yeah.
Hmm.
No, it sounded great. All right, some more tech questions before we get into all the musical background. So so you had the Schwaemann and then the Atlantic. So you had the two sequencers. Is it the Metropolix and Multistage? Is that, did I see that
Yeah,
right?
it's
Okay.
actually old. It's the Metropolis, the old one.
Nice. Okay.
I'm a bit against screens, and I bought it recently, actually, the Metropolis. I had it a super long time ago. I was hesitating between the Voltage Multistage and the Metropolis as my very first sequencer. So I'm talking like almost 10 years ago now. And so I went with the Metropolis and sold it to buy the Voltage Multistage, which is the one I still have, which is probably my favorite sequencer. But yeah, recently I was wanting to get another sequencer for another voice, and basically my brain only responds to step sequences. And but I wanted something slightly different than the Voltage Multistage, which I know well. Yeah. So I rebought the Metropolis, and they are quite cheap right now since the Metropolis came out. And I didn't feel like I need the second channel, and especially for live sets, it's just I do very minor tweaks, and the two aux are like sufficient for me. And it's a very fun machine, very fun sequencer, the Metropolis, the old one. I recommend it.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. It's very immediate with the sliders and then being able
Yeah.
to kind of change up the rhythm of the steps. So when you're doing that, so I noticed like in your set you were kind of tweaking things. Is this the do you do that on the fly like throughout the night, like just and do you
Oh
tune your
yeah.
oscillators? That's the other
I
question.
don't. I don't. That's a often recurring question. I absolutely never tune my oscillator. I'm probably incapable of tuning them. I know how to make them beat, but that, I mean, I don't care. And I usually like I will try to have like a sound that I think is good to try. If I have some time at a sound check, try to find a good basic sound. But that's about it. And
To kind of get the two to sit together, sort of thing, just so they don't.
Of course. But I feel like with the kind of clangy FME sound I do, it's not that huge of a deal. And I also like that if it's not exactly right, you try to make it right live while it's out on the sound system. It adds a bit of something that I like. Like it's like a DJ spinning the vinyls to make it bounce back into the beat, and I feel like it's my way of trying to tune it live, and it can be fun. It can
Like
actually
giving it
even be
that
fun to
raw
abuse it.
energy.
Like just take tuning of the oscillator and just go crazy. If you do a mistake, just accentuate it until it sounds like something premeditated.
Put some reverb
Exactly.
on it or something.
Good
Yeah, no, it
motto.
sounded great. I feel like there was one other. I think you answered all of them really, like my tech side of questions. But I noticed like when you were filtering, like when you'd kind of pull the low end out, were you doing it from the Octatrack and or were you doing it from because you're multi-tracking?
I'm such a basic Octatrack user that I never, almost never use a slider. I don't know. The only use I have for it is to indeed low pass stuff, but I'm quite used. I have put like a basic Ableton EQ3 on the master, which I have linked to like something on my keyboard, like P or something. And so when I hit P, it just cuts the bass. So that's my
Nice, it just
makeshift
turns it off.
zone. Yeah, it's extremely basic, but it works more or less. But yeah, I do
Nice.
that at
So you
home. And
gen. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
no,
I
no,
think there was a
I
little
mean
lag.
that's how I cut bass. I just press the P button.
Nice. So then, like, that takes the duty of the zone when you're actually, like, when you're playing out. You don't do
Yeah.
that on the Octatrack itself. I got it. Okay. So you use the
Yeah, I
filters and
mean,
things like that.
so yeah, the live I will use the EQs of the zone, but lightly. Like I'm not a DJ, and I have a lot of other stuff, like I guess a bit more important to do. So I don't have a lot of time to dedicate to the zone. So I still have like a low high pass usually set up on the slider just as a backup in case something doesn't work on the zone. But yeah, usually the zone EQ sound 100 times better than anything I can set up on the Octatrack. So I much prefer it sound good.
Yeah, the filters on it I think are incredible. So yeah, I
Yeah,
use a
you get the
Zone
option
too.
to filter everything with the filters, but also just to do the channel of the Octatrack, for example, and then you still have like the toms of the 909, which are so you get options, which is nice.
Nice. Yeah, no, I like how it has the little switches too, so you can
Yeah,
decide what
definitely.
channel you wanna filter and all that stuff. Did you find that using a DJ mixer as opposed to like a modular mixer or anything like that, or even summing to the Octatrack, do you feel like the DJ mixer gives you like that extra push of sound, like, you know what I mean? Like that analog kind of gluing it together, or
I
is it more
mean,
for just
it's
tech?
the
Yeah.
it stems more from the fact that every club has a Zone 92 or 96, so I just adapted myself to this with the right cables, but that's it. In terms of punch, I mean, they sure have a sound which I like and I think it's nice, but I'm not sure. I don't hear such. I mean, from club to clubs, the sound is so different that I wouldn't be able to compare. But yeah, I mean, they definitely not degrade the sound, that's for sure. And I'm a bit of a snob with such things, so I wouldn't like to sum my modular into the Octatrack, for example, because I think the conversion isn't that fantastic. So I think the Octatrack is insanely practical for live, but it sounds a bit dull and flat and no dynamics at all. So I mean, I love it when I play live, but basically in my studio, I never use it. So
Got
it's
it.
a very good tool, but I wouldn't sum my modular through it.
Right. No, I mean, I use, like different mixers. Like I've used the WMD, I've used the Octatrack and things like that. But a friend of mine, Maydawn, another live artist, she was like, use a DJ mixer. And yeah, it practically and sound wise, it just sounds better. And it's
Yeah, I
much easier
mean,
to just put it on your rider, and
yeah, you don't have
show
to
up.
buy one. I mean, I certainly have no
Yeah.
use for one at home, so I didn't buy one. And I mean, after 2 gigs, you get used to it. You know where to plug the pedal for an FX send. That's it.
Right,
So
right.
it's easier, just way easier.
Yeah. And I feel like it, yeah, like you have a little bit more control of the volume too, like in sound check. So like you're saying, that challenges of, have you had any, what have been the challenges, I guess? Like, so let's get into some other things. Like when you're playing live and you're playing in between DJs, do you find that using that mixer kind of alleviate, like takes away some of the challenges, like master tracks versus, like the raw live sound?
Never really felt that my sound was so much weaker than like a DJ set before or after. The DJ set probably sounds more like coherent and massive in a way, but they do in good clubs, they do a good job of like having everyone during the night sounding more or less the same good. They have limited in compressors. Even if you don't have them in your rack, it sounds usually they can polish your stuff a bit.
Right. EQ it and have different settings for you.
And but I really like to have like a proper sound check when possible. And also it's I mean in good clubs it's usually easy as well, but to have my own mixer so I don't have to plug stuff and remember the settings. So to have two complete different setups when the booth is big enough, that's a luxury which you get accustomed to quite quickly.
So true, so true. Yeah, it's way, you don't want to be, gearing up to play and then having to worry about like, oh, now you have to patch all the channels and the send and stuff like that.
I've done
So,
it a lot
okay,
of times though, but yeah.
yeah, it's a little stressful.
Yes.
So, I know you mentioned earlier that you've been using modular for about 10 years. Let's kind of back up and kind of rewind a little bit and go into your history. W were you in were you were you making music before you got into modular, or was that your dive into making music?
No, yeah, I think this year marks the like 10 years I've been making music. I didn't start straight away with modular. I bought an OP1 first, actually, but then I very quickly went to like maybe Modular 101, because we have a store in Paris and they organized like a little presentation about modular. I thought it was interesting, but I felt like it wasn't exactly for me. But then I bought a Mother 32 maybe 2 weeks after, and then
The
you know it
gateway.
goes it's been the gateway for a lot of people, I guess. But then then I quickly bought like a complex oscillator from Verbose, a sequencer, and then maybe a year after I bought the OP1, I was already up to the neck in modular. So I really started to learn about synthesis and make music and what I wanted to do with music with modular more than the OP1, which the OP1 is like baby steps. I was making ambient loops mostly, but before prior to that, I had never ever done music. I can't play any instrument, so I didn't. When I discovered that you could make music like with the sequences, such as step sequences, that really light something in my brain. This is fun. This I understand, and this I can work with, you know.
That's the beauty of modular, really. It's just giving everybody that opportunity, like, if you don't play like a traditional, quote, traditional instrument like piano or no theory, but you can still have an ear, like you know what you like, right? Like if you're into techno or whatever genre, like you can use your ear and learn and compare, which is very liberating, I think, for people.
Yeah,
So that's pretty
and
cool.
if you trust your taste and try to, you know, at first you obviously try to copy your the sound you like, and but then little by little you discover your sound, discover more about how to reach that too. So I guess it's the same for everyone. There's a few milestones. Like I know that when I bought a Digitact, it felt like, yeah, this is much closer to what I want to do. Just because in terms of, you know, because when you want to start to make technically, like Kate said, but like you don't even know you need a bass line or a rumble or whatever, and you don't, even when you know you need one, you don't know how to do it. So it's a long journey, but it's fun.
Definitely. I'm sure you had those like aha moments. I remember starting modular and it's like, oh, a little overwhelming. You're trying to figure out like, what's doing what, and then you feel the click. You know what I mean? You sense the click. You're like, oh, it's like clicking in. You're getting it now.
Yeah, definitely.
So when you got into modular, then is that sort of when you did that gravitate? Did you gravitate towards techno then, or were you still making ambient music with it?
At first, I was still doing like, you know, Tangerine Dream stuff like this, like sending stuff into an endless looping delay and having a lot of fun.
Nice.
Just because of the sheer novelty of it, because it's still quite amazing to just wiggle knobs and have fun. And but yeah, little by little, I bought a TensMouse, so I produce beads. So
You have a sample
TensMouse
pack
is,
for that too, right?
yeah,
I bought
I
that
did.
sample pack. Yeah, it's a
Oh,
great sample
thank
pack. I'll leave a link in the description if people want to check out your sample pack. But yeah, no,
Yeah,
it's great.
that's. I sold that original TensMouse to a friend, and but then I missed it and rebought it again because it's a fun drum machine. It's voiced like a 909, but it's a bit different and quirky in a way, but nice. But then, yeah, I sold that and bought a Digitact, and then I was already focused on making techno. But then, you. I finally managed to get closer to what could be called like a decent or proper techno, but still didn't exactly the techno I liked. That's the techno I could do at that time. So it was a bit harsh and industrial, maybe a bit too much for my actual tastes. But little by little, I learned to tone it down and go deeper, more. You know, I was super heavily influenced by Mike Parker at first. Still love it, his stuff, but, you know, more into the super minimal. And so the more I learned, the more I learned to strip down and just let the sound breathe a bit. And but it takes a lot of time to get that, because you need also confidence to, like, to put a track like Mike Parker with, like, two elements, but it sounds incredible. It takes a lot of confidence and experience, which
so
I didn't
have.
So
who else are you in? So who else influences you? What are some of your other influences?
I mean, the core ones would be like Planetary System, Luke Slater. Soundwell District was really the first thing that got me into techno, because I come from like punk, hardcore, doom, stuff like this, more guitar music. And Soundwell District had the same imagery with the, you know, if you look at the records, it kind of looks like hardcore punk records. It's same visuals, maybe. And even the atmospheres are super dark. So, yeah, I easily got into it. And then it's a good entry point, because it's so good even today. You know, it's like there's still some of the best albums or EPs ever. So Regis, the classics like this were the entry point, and the loopy stuff, which I still really love. And those would be my influence. Today I also like a lot of you know, Jung or producer Hudo, a lot of stuff. Recently I've been really loving Draw and Orb and Deka, stuff like this. Stuff that's heavy, atmospheric, but also simple and loopy. I'm always in between, like, let's do a sleep archive loop, like super basic, ultra repetitive for 6 minutes. And sometimes I feel like, oh, I need to add more atmosphere and go deeper. And so I'm always oscillating between the two. And it's a bit hard to reconcile these two aspects. Sometimes I do a track like this, sometimes I do a track like that. And I really love those producers who can do like punchy, powerful tracks, but still with atmospherics and with kind of deep space element to it.
Yeah, I feel like with the atmosphere, it really helps glue stuff together too, especially when you're using a lot of hardware. It just kind of pulls things together, I think, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you check out Jan Cook? Have you heard of Jan Cook?
Yeah. He's from Ukraine, right?
I believe so. Yes. Yeah, I like his stuff.
Yeah, I love
too.
His stuff. Very good.
So, what is your favorite piece of gear right now? Then, I know you're changing. It's like the nature of the modular, right? Like the buying and selling and rebuying.
Yes. Well, it's I would say the Swayman SM1. It better be given the price tag, but I didn't need it. I already had the Atlantis. I had like a full voice system, so I really didn't need another synth voice. But I don't know. I had like I had 2 gig in a row, and I said like it's splurge. And I've been wanting it forever, and you know, these modules, they don't really come out every day, so it's now or ever. And also a friend of mine bought it, so I thought like, I need one. There's no way he can have it, and I can't. So I bought it, and the bastard even sent me the link, like they're available. So your text just got me to like put me 2K in debt. But so
that's great.
I bought it, and but I didn't expect it to love it as much as I do. It's, I mean, I love the Atlantis, but it's like head and shoulders above. It's so good. And everything is so dialed, like the envelopes are incredible, the filter is incredible, you have a lot of options, it's super easy to route stuff, you have two LFOs. So yeah, I really like it. Really, really like it.
Is it based on the SH-101 a little bit?
It's just like a, no, it's just the full synth from Swayman. Maybe it's like a modular version of S.
No, I mean the Atlantis, or sorry. S1.
Oh, the Atlantis. Oh, the Atlantis, yeah. Is based on the SH-101, yes.
SH-101. Got it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you were,
sure,
talking about the envelopes on the Schwaman, I think.
Yes, but the envelopes on the Atlantis are also really good. So, but different. Yeah. You have two on the Schwaman, which makes a big difference.
Nice. Yeah, no, they just have a interesting sound. Like, I have the filter, the big QMMF4. Oh, yeah. That's the only Schwaman that I have, but that filter isn't.
A friend of mine has it, and we've played live a few times together, and I didn't have the SM1 at the time, and I was in awe of the sound, like, especially in a sound system. It's just because this is the kind of modules that's like, yeah, four filters, and then you look at the price tag and you're like, yeah, but then it runs like the entirety of the modular through it, and everything sounds 100 times better because of it. And he has so much control over everything in his modular case. So in the live situation, it's really big.
Yeah, no, it does sound really good. Does he use it like a self, you know how you can have like a self oscillating?
Yeah.
Okay.
He does use one of the voice as an oscillator.
Okay. Nice. Mm-hmm. So, We're almost at the top of the hour. We have some time. So I do want to ask you a question I ask everyone, which is, what do you recommend to people if they are just getting into modular? Like they're getting ready to buy their first module. So they're kind of looking and thinking, or just getting into playing live. Like that's their goal. What's some advice you would give to someone?
As for modular, I would probably go for like a semi-modular at first. There's so many good ones right now. Like the DFAM is a really great option, the Make Noise, whatever. I mean, there's a lot to try, and it's a lot less expensive than going the full modular route at first. That would probably be my advice. Also, have a nice step sequencer, like the No Control, or even Dark Time, stuff like this. For techno especially, it's incredibly fun and easily rewarding if you like repetition. And for playing live, the main thing is to just play a lot at home and know what you're working with, your toys, your tools well. And it's hard to be confident at first, but just practice a few moves, how to sustain attention, because you have quite a bit of leeway live, I think. With people are tolerant,
right?
And if you get like a good kick and bass going, and you move the decay of the hats, you have 10 minutes in front of you, so you can you can improvise, you know. Just remember to take your time and have fun. That's basically the most important thing. But yeah, take your time. Just don't feel like you need to bring something in and out every 5 seconds. That's too stressful.
I used to time myself like in between, like just because, you know, you get nervous. And when I first started playing live, like your adrenaline gets pumping, right? And or at home you're jamming. So it's like, I would time it just so I would start to like, okay, like relax. And like you said, taking my time and letting it breathe, as opposed to like transition, transition, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really good advice. So one more question then, when you are writing, what do you typically start with?
I would probably start with the sequence, just maybe with a bare kick drum to give it like a, so I know the sequence seats. But yeah, usually I'll try to find a like a good synth sequence that gets playing first. If I add a kick and hat, and I feel like this might lead somewhere, then yeah, that's usually where I start with. I'm not going to start with a like a kink rumble or bass line. It's just it's no fun. So, and I feel like the 909 kick is, I love it. So it's a bass anyway. So I can just find the fun stuff first. The
Nice.
synth first.
'Cause then it like invokes like maybe like a feeling or something, right?
Yeah,
Where
I
you're
mean,
just
you
like, oh,
just
I want
need to
to add this or
find,
add that.
exactly, you just need to find something that gets you going and gives you inspiration. It doesn't need to be there at the end, but it needs to be the thing that makes you start and makes you believe in that loop and want to finish it.
But yes, yeah, definitely a feeling. It's interesting when people talk about whether they want to start with like full on percussion. Like some people will start, you know, and then they add their bass or their leads and things like that. But yeah,
Yeah,
I
that's
think
not, I
that.
mean, also because my percussions is the 909, so I'm not gonna reinvent the wheel. I like the basic 909 sequence, so I like the simple, just supporting role, but always reliable. So yeah, I'm not gonna, I usually not don't start with a beat, because that's not
Nice.
where, I'm not gonna innovate anyway, but that's not where I can bring anything new,
Right. So then you typically add when you stick with the 909 and then do like a kick that you actually make like in the box, but otherwise is that your main, do you find that you're adding extra percussion like from other
I mean, the
modules? I mean,
modular can
especially in the
be
studio.
percussive, yeah. Well, the modular can definitely have. I don't tailor sounds to be specifically percussive, but they sometimes end up as percussions. I also have a syncussion, which
Oh, yeah.
is more or less like a drum synth. So I do bring percussions from this, but also use it like a synth as well.
Okay.
But yeah, the main backbone of the percussion is going to be the 909 with effects, but not effects that change drastically the tone, just like salt and pepper. And yeah, I do bring sometimes from, if I feel like I need to have a little LPG perk, then I'm gonna make it with the modular. But it's I mean, it's not guaranteed if I feel like it,
Right, like if you're feeling it for the moment. So, do you have any get what do you have any gigs or anything coming up or any releases that you want to shout out? We're at the top of the hour just to let people know.
I have a few gigs, but I mean they're in Europe. I have a gig in Spain, a few in France coming up in October and November. Also a gig where we play five of us with friends, a bit like Stor if you want.
I
So
saw
that's gonna
that
be
your
fun.
YouTube. That looked
Oh yeah.
amazing.
We're gonna
It's like
do
I want
one again in November. It's gonna be filmed, I think, again, so it's gonna be nice. And as for releases, I have a few vinyls coming. So I have a solo EP early 2025 and a couple tracks on compilation, which I'm stoked about. So that's three records in total. So it's nice to finally have some music on what's out.
Nice. I saw that you had the release back in January, Bandcamp, and I will definitely drop that link so people can go and check that out. Are you releasing it on Bandcamp or are you releasing with another label or just so we people know
All
where to
the
look?
ones that are coming up are on other labels. I have a
Okay.
label with a friend called Data Roaming label, Data Roaming Records, but
Okay.
we've been so busy that it's been a bit dormant. We still have we stopped at release 9. We need to go to number 10, but it's gonna wake up someday, but not right now. We don't have the
Got
time.
it. All right. So I'll definitely leave your Linktree link then so everyone will have access to all your links. You have a Patreon as well. I'll put that on there too. But I really do appreciate you coming on the show. Like I said, I've been following you for quite some time, and I really enjoyed listening to your music and find it very inspiring. So thank you. Thank you for your
Thank you
time.
so much. Thanks so much for having me. It was really nice to chat with you, and my pleasure. So.
Thank you. And I want to say thank you to all our listeners, and I am Trevarsi, and this is Transduction Signal on Dublab Radio.